while this morning. I'm so thankful that you're here. I hope that you're blessed. Amen. I know it started out a little cool in the room. This seasonal thing where it starts out in the 50s and then goes into the late, you know, upper 70s, a little hard to regulate the temperature in here. So if you're cold natured, bring you a sweater or something or jacket and then pull it off after, you know, halfway through singing when you start getting hot. Amen. But we want you to be comfortable, and we don't want any excuse from the enemy. Well, you know, so cold in there. No. Amen. Just come on, be blessed. Praise God. All right. We've said that someone who receives salvation but never understands salvation will experience very little change in their life reality. And we've been talking a great deal this entire year. Now we're over 10 and a half months into 2024, on Wednesday nights, about what God has done for us, who He has made us, and what He has given to us. And it's a lack of understanding. Remember, understanding doesn't just mean knowledge. Understanding means a new perspective. The way you understand things means the way you see things, the way you look at things, the lens through which you process things. Understanding is important in so many different areas of our lives, but one of the key things is that how you understand a thing determines how you respond to it. How you understand a thing, how you see a thing, how you look at a thing, or how you understand a person, see a person, look at a person, determines how you respond to that particular person. And of course, we see that there were those who responded correctly to Jesus because of the understanding that they had of Him. And there were others who responded incorrectly to Jesus. In other words, they rejected Jesus, again, based upon their understanding of Him. Remember, they would say things like, is this not Mary's son? Is this not the carpenter from Nazareth? Search the scriptures. No good thing comes out of Nazareth. See, that was all their understanding. That was what the Bible says. The Bible actually says no good thing comes out of Nazareth, right? But we know that, and the Messiah is to be born in Bethlehem, right? Well, they didn't do their homework because Jesus was from Nazareth, but He was born in Bethlehem, just like the scriptures foretold. So again, your understanding determines how you respond. And with the wrong understanding comes the wrong response. And if life is anything, life is choice driven or response driven. And so the enemy can't do anything in your life without your cooperation, but he's a deceiver and a liar. And he tries to deceive and manipulate our lives by lying to us in hopes that he can manipulate us into wrong responses. So if we're going to seamlessly respond correctly to things in our lives, and when I say respond to things and respond to people, I mean, obviously, we're going to get into this in greater detail in the weeks to come before the end of the year anyway. You know, we're talking about how we respond to positive, good things in our lives. Amen. That's important. When God does something for you, how should we respond? We should respond by being thankful. We should respond by acknowledging Him. We should respond by telling somebody about it. In other words, there's all kinds of ways that the scriptures explain to us how we should respond when we're dealing with favorable circumstances and good things going on in our lives. But then also, we need to pay attention to how we respond to negative things, to negative situations in our lives, when things don't seem to be going our way. And so how do we respond to that? A key indicator of our growth is how we respond when somebody tells us no. Amen. It got kind of quiet and then kind of chuckled. Ha 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 ha. Because we don't like to be told no. Am I right about it? Come on now. We don't like to be told no. You know, you go into your boss, you got this big idea and all this stuff, and you lay it out, something you've been thinking about, and it's all the time, you know. And he looks, he goes, man, you know, I appreciate all that effort, but no. You know, and it's like, you know, now guess what we got to figure out? We got to figure out whether or not we're going to submit to the authority that's over us. Because as long as you and your boss agree, you're not really submitting to him. Where submission comes into play is when you disagree and he's over you or someone's over you, and you decide, okay, amen. So someone who receives salvation but never understands salvation will experience very, very little change in their life reality. And so what we see is that when we were born again, when we received salvation, we became a new creation in Christ Jesus. That part of us, your being, was born again, but your understanding was not. The part of us that understands is a work in progress. And we can increase in our understanding. We can allow the Holy Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God to help shape and form within us a different way of looking at things and a different way of responding to things. Amen. Are you with me? You realize that as a born-again believer, we don't talk the same way other people talk. We don't say things, and I don't just mean we don't use certain four-letter words. We don't say things that, and we don't respond to things the way the world responds to them, right? And so much of the world's vocabulary and so much of the way the world responds to things has infiltrated, for example, I'm just hoping and praying. The Bible does not tell you to hope and pray. It tells you to pray and believe. But see, hoping and praying is just a spiritual example. It's just a spiritual way of saying, I'm keeping my fingers crossed. You know, see, again, there's certain ways that the more our understanding is developed from the Word of God and our true identity in Christ, as opposed to our upbringing and the world around us, our perspective changes. And when our perspective changes, that's when our life reality changes. So when we say someone who receives salvation but never understands salvation, meaning they never see themselves as someone God will never leave, they never see themselves as a new creation in Christ Jesus, but they continue to see themselves as the person they were before they were born again, they will continue to live for the most part like that person that they were before they were born again. Now, in Galatians chapter 4, let's just go ahead and read it. I could try to paraphrase it, but it'd be easier just to read it. Now I say, verse number 1, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, and I put that word nepios in there, it doesn't mean an offspring, it means childish or darkened understanding, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. I'm going to come back to that word might in that verse number 5. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. But then, indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not God's. But now, after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? Now, verse 9 begins with two very important words, but now. Might be something you would enjoy doing this week in your Bible study, but do a word search of that phrase in the New Testament, but now. And you're going to see a lot of different verses that either use but now or the word now. Now as opposed to what? As opposed to then. As opposed to the way things were before. And so he's saying this is how we were before. This is who we were before. This is what we were before. But now. But now. And we've got to draw that line of but now in our lives. We were once darkness, but now we are light in the Lord. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. Again, we do a whole teaching on this. I'm not going to try to dive off into that this morning. But the but nows are the ones that we need to recognize are the ones speaking to you and me. Why would the Bible have to point out a but now, right? It's because it's true about your being, but may not necessarily yet be reflected in your doing. And he's trying to help your understanding about, back to that mirror and seeing in the mirror of God's word what you can't see anywhere else, revealing to you who you are and who you became the day you became a new creature in Christ Jesus. So we see from this a phrase that we've made, I don't know, countless numbers of times this summer and even starting in the spring. A son will continue to live like a slave as long as his understanding is darkened, even though he is a son. Even though he is a son. Now, if you go back to that verse number 5, and this is Galatians chapter 4, verse 5, it says, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And we've looked at that word might a few times here of late. That word might is a possibility, speaks of a possibility based upon an unfulfilled condition. Now, God is absolute. His truth is absolute. His word is absolute. It doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so anytime you hear God using the word if or might, he's talking about a condition that is dependent upon you and me. He's talking about something that we must fulfill, something that we must do, some effort that we must put forth in cooperation with him. We know that God desires for us to live in the full blessing of Abraham in our earthly life here you know, as not one day we get to heaven, but right here and now on planet Earth. But we see things like, if you are willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. If, right? Meaning what? If we continue to have unwilling hearts, if we continue to choose, and that word disobedient in the New Testament, it doesn't just mean breaking the commandments. It means an unwillingness to be persuaded. So in other words, if we refuse to listen, then that's going to prevent us from enjoying and experiencing in our life reality all the things that Father God would have for us. So when he says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 5, that Jesus came to redeem those, that means that he came to pay the price to secure our release from slavery and imprisonment to sin. Redeem, again, speaks of a price paid to secure the release of a slave or a prisoner. And we were both slaves and prisoners to sin. Jesus came to pay the ransom. He came to pay the debt so that we could be free. Amen. Now, has Jesus done that? Yes, he has done that. So why is there still a might associated with this? He did that for us so that we might receive the adoption as sons. It's because there's an unfulfilled condition. It's a possibility now. Before Jesus came to redeem us, before Jesus did for us what he did for us, it was impossible for a person to become the offspring of God in the earth. Impossible for a man or a woman to be born again of the incorruptible seed of God. But now that Jesus has done all this for us, he opened up the door and made a way for us. But it's still a might receive the adoption as sons because there is a condition that must be fulfilled. What is that unfulfilled condition that every human being must address for himself or herself? It's we've got to receive Jesus. We absolutely positively have to receive Jesus. Are you with me? Amen. I know this may sound very simple and basic to a lot of you, but that's just the bottom line of it. That is the unfulfilled condition. This idea, you know, and it's another thing the world says, well, you know, we're all God's children. No, that's not what the Bible teaches us. That's not what the Bible says. Now, in the sense that he created us all, yes, but remember, we sold out. Amen. When Adam sinned, he separated himself from God, and we were all in Adam, and we were all born separated from God. And so we must be born again to become the offspring of God, sons of God, heirs of God, that we now have the opportunity to become if we will meet the unfulfilled condition. And so we see this in John chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. Jesus came to his own. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Amen. Now, I want to isolate two verses out of Galatians chapter 4 this morning, and we're going to focus back in on those in the time we have remaining. Verse 6 says, and because you are sons, because you are sons. Have you ever experienced, and I'm just trying to think off the top of my heart here, I don't really have anything in my notes to kind of explain this, but have you ever been granted a privilege or access to something because you possess something, a status, a position, a certificate, a ticket, whatever, that not everyone was included in or entitled to. You know, maybe you had paid more for seats at a concert, and so you got to sit in the front. Sometimes you hear the Christian radio stations, they'll do a contest and you can actually win front row seats and an opportunity to go backstage and meet the artists. Okay. Does everyone have that kind of access? Does everyone have, that place, you know, that front row seat, or, you know, can just anybody in a crowd of 20,000 go backstage and shake hands with, Toby Mac? Are you with me? And the answer to that is no. The answer to that is no. It would be, you know, chaos and hysteria. Okay. So what he's saying here is, first of all, Galatians beginning all the way to chapter 1 is explaining why we're heirs, and we're heirs because we're sons, and we're sons because we've been born of God, because we've been redeemed by God. And so when he comes to this phrase, because you are sons, you have access that folks who are not sons do not have. You have blessings and benefits and rights and privileges that those who are not sons do not have. Now, they can become sons and have those. It's not exclusive. It's not like God's only got, 2 million spots and it's closing fast, No, it's whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But because you have received salvation and because you are sons, you're in a different position. You've been made something that you could never make yourself. Your being is different from the being of someone who has not yet been born again. Your nature is different from the nature of someone who has not yet been born again. You have access to God the Father, not just access into the throne room. Ephesians 2, if we have time, we'll look at it in a moment, says you are seated together with Jesus in the heavenly places. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. That's a term of endearment. So notice now, He's saying the Holy Spirit is in you. And when you were born again, He put a new spirit in you, a new nature in you. You are a spirit. He put a new you in you, a new being in you, a new nature in you. And then your new being, your new nature, spirit, amen, became one with God's spirit. Amen. That's what the Bible teaches us. So the Holy Spirit and you, born again spirit, born again person, crying out, Abba Father, term of endearment, speaking of closeness and oneness and fellowship. Amen. Are you following what I'm saying? But now our understanding, your soul, the part of you that understands, cannot understand that or reject that when somebody tries to explain it to you, right? Matthew's church we attended many years ago together, and Matthew was singing one Sunday, and he sings a lot of songs, if you hadn't figured this out by now, about Father God, and he talked about Abba meaning daddy. And I said, man, there was a lady, she went to the pastor about it. Who does he think he is? You can't say that. That's so disrespectful. Well, I mean, it's like, have you read the Bible, sister? Come on now, this is low-hanging fruit here. Amen. But notice now, her understanding was that you're being disrespectful to refer to God as your Abba, as your daddy. You've crossed a line. That's her understanding. Understanding determines response. Are you following me? See, Father God wants you to understand that He is your Father, that He is a good Father. And He's not just a stern disciplinarian, although He does discipline. When God corrects us, He does it because He loves us. And He doesn't correct us with natural disasters. He doesn't correct us with tornadoes and tragedy and death. And anybody who believes that hasn't read the New Testament. But I get stirred up about that right there. Please, praise God. Okay. But He's the Father of spirits. He's the Father of spirits. God is a spirit. You are a spirit. He corrects you spiritually. Amen. Bible's very clear. Your flesh and your spirit don't even speak the same language. The idea that God could somehow do some harm to your flesh and it teach you a spiritual lesson goes against everything the Bible teaches about the way God created us and designed us to function. And people talk about, how all these hard things we go through in the flesh are making us perfect. Well, when are we going to be perfected by it already? Amen? Are you following what I'm saying? In other words, that's not how it works. God perfects you inwardly, and then that perfection that He makes you inwardly works its way outwardly to an outward expression of life. And it is an ongoing process. Oh, I get stirred up about that kind of stuff right there. I get stirred up about that. But he so much wants you to relate to Him as Father and as Dad. That think of all. Let's back up for a minute. So you've been born again. You have a new spirit. You are a new being. And then He puts the Holy Spirit in you to join together with your new being, your new spirit. Okay, you still with me? Think of all the things. If you didn't know the Bible said this, think of all the things. Okay, so now, what is the number one thing? What is the number one thing that Holy Spirit is that's in you? The Holy Spirit, the only Holy Spirit there is. The Holy Spirit who's now in you. The one thing that He's going to be joining in with your born again spirit and crying out from the innermost depths of your being. What do you think that one thing's going to be? Obey, obey. Obey. See, are you following? I didn't say Old Bay like the seasoning. I'm talking about obedience. Okay, you still with me? In other words, if you didn't know anything about this, just based on the volume of sermons you've heard in your lifetime, and God says, okay, I'm gonna put my spirit in you, and he's gonna just be, you know, on repeat, right? Helping you, you know, remember and cry out and have an attitude of heart that's gonna transform your understanding. It's gonna transform your life reality. And just like every time you give place to him, this is what he's gonna be encouraging you to say. Every time you give place to him, this is what he's gonna be encouraging you to think. Every time you give place to him, this is how he's gonna be encouraging you to understand. This is how he wants you to understand who you are to God, blah, blah, blah. Are you seeing this? It's Abba, Father. This is what he wants you to understand. When Jesus taught us to pray, what did he teach us? Our Father who art in heaven. Jesus didn't tell us to pray to his Father. He said, you pray to our Father. What does that mean? It means Jesus' daddy and my daddy are the same daddy. When Mary came to him in the garden before he had ascended to heaven, right? Whoa, don't touch me now. But I'm ascending to my Father, come on now, and to your Father. What Jesus just did made a way for Father God to now be her Father just as much as he was Jesus' Father. Whew. So, are there a lot of important things in the Scripture for the Holy Spirit to remind us of? Yes. And does he remind us of those things? Yes. But isn't it interesting that he's called the Spirit of Truth, the Spirit of Wisdom, and the Spirit of Adoption, where we cry out and recognize the Creator of the universe as our, not just Father, but Abba Father. Again, a term of endearment. So we are heirs of God because we're sons of God. We became heirs because we became sons. This brings us to a very important question. How did we become sons? How did we, and keyword here is become, okay? Become. I'm asking the Holy Spirit to help me, and I'm asking him to help you to see what I call the being words in the Scriptures. Obviously, be is one, are is one, is one. Are you still with me? Were is what? Past tense of be is present tense. You still with me? You still with me? Okay. When he says you were darkness, he's talking about what you once were, or let me say it another way, what you used to be. But if you were darkness, but now are is present tense, I got it somewhere in my notes, present tense singular of be, okay? Made in the right context is also a being word. When the Bible says you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and a lot of other words that are used in that context, the word made there, it means that to come into existence as, become, be, do you see it? Come, become. Become is a being word. Become means begin to be. It means begin to be. So when we see in John chapter 11 and verse 12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. It means the right to begin to be children of God. It's a being word. Are you following me? It's not talking about your understanding. We can gain understanding from it, absolutely. Not talking about your doing. It's talking about your being. You are a being that has an understanding that does things. You are a spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body. Amen? Amen? So he's talking about here this word right to become. In the original language, this word right could have actually been better translated authority or authorized. It is translated that way in other places. It is the Greek word exousia. You don't have to know that to get to heaven, but it'll help you if you understand what it means to live a victorious life on earth. Amen? This word exousia is talking about the power, the privilege, the ability. Literally, it means he removed any barrier that would prevent any person who called upon his name to become a son or a daughter of God. That's back to the might, an unfulfilled condition that has to be met by you and me by our surrendering our lives to him, by receiving him, by understanding what he's come to do for us. Amen. Hear the gospel message and then receive that. Say yes to him. And this is how we become sons and daughters of God. Now, praise God. Man, where's the time go? Lord Jesus, I just looked at the watch here. Can you stay with me a few more minutes? Can you please? All right. Man, that was just my introduction. Thank you, Jesus. All right. So let me put this up. Y'all are laughing. I'm not laughing. I'm serious about that. Okay. All right. So here's the drawing again. When I say these being words, okay, in addition to the being, because we established last week that God's priority is your being, number one. Number two, your understanding. Then number three, your doing. Okay. So as you read the scriptures, as you study the scriptures, look for the being words, look for the understanding words, look for the doing words. Okay? You still with me? So, this drawing kind of illustrates that. But now, with that said, I want to read Philippians chapter 2 verse 13 to you. Philippians chapter 2 verse 13, it says, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." So I kind of put a cheat sheet up there for you. If you notice, spirit is the real you, your true nature, your being. Soul is mind, emotions, and will. Did you hear the word will just a moment ago? And then, of course, we got our body, our flesh, our five senses, the outward man. And I try to simplify this by the being, the understanding, and the doing. Come on now, some of you are like, "I don't understand that." Yes, you do. The devil don't want you to understand it, so he's fighting you. But just stay with me, okay? So you are a being, you have an understanding, and you do things. Think behavior. So many people come to God because they got behavior problems. Been misbehaving, God. Need some help here, okay? Amen. Well, he'll help you. He'll forgive you. But the ultimate lifetime eternal answer to behavioral problems is a new being. A new being. And then an understanding that goes along with a new being. Because you behave, you do, according to your understanding, even if what you understand about yourself is wrong. We said that over and over and over again. All right, let's go back to this verse though. "For it is God who works in you both." Somebody say both. "To will and to do for his good pleasure." All right, so let me break it down for you. I want you to see this. "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." God in you. Where is God in you? Spirit. He's in your spirit. Amen. He's in your spirit. Some of you, I apologize if I tricked somebody. I didn't mean to do that, okay? But the arrow that says Zoe in it up there, that is, when I got to preach Friday night a couple weeks ago down in Foley, their screen was low. I could like walk back here and I could just like, you know, so amen. I don't know what we got to do. This projector is decades old and it's getting dim. And anyway, just pray with me. I've been doing some research on that. But I'd like to get one a little lower so I could just kind of maybe even get this as much as I like this pulpit. Maybe. Anyway, there's no need to talk about that right now. Okay. So that arrow that says Zoe, that remember that communicates two things. Anybody remember what it communicates? Direction. I heard that one. One more. The arrow between God and spirit that says Zoe on it, it's intended to communicate two very important things. Brother Shane got one. He said direction. That's flow, direction. There's another one that it's meant to communicate. No wonder y'all didn't get the answer right. Y'all don't know it. Connection. They rhyme. Connection, direction. Connection, direction. Y'all need to come to discipleship class. I'm just telling you. Come on now. Amen. Connection, direction. Connection, direction. Connection, direction. Do you have a connection with God? Yes. Oneness and fellowship. It's a big word like mayonnaise called reconciliation. Jesus paid the ultimate price for us to be reconciled to God, to be made one together again with God. And so that arrow communicates direction and it communicates connection. So the life of God is flowing from God through a connection into your born-again spirit. Okay. So when he's in you, right? Let's do it another way. Whoever said soul, you're not necessarily wrong. Okay. But remember, you are a spirit. You have a soul. You live in a body. So if we think of it in a different way, three balls, a ball within a ball within a ball, the outward ball would be, your body, the inward ball would be your soul, and the deepest part of you, that ball within a ball within a ball, that part of you would be spirit, and that's where God is. God is one spirit with you. You've been united together and is one spirit with you. So when he says, let's go back to the verse. For it is God who works in you. I know I've given you a lot of things to think about as you study the word this morning, but look for the verses that talk about in and in Christ and in whom, okay? So in. So God is working in you. If God is in you and he's working in you, he has to be in you. That's really important right there. God can't work in you from a distance. Are you following me? Okay, he can't zoom it in, right? He's in you. He's in you. God inside-minded. This is back to he's never going to leave you. Amen? He's in you. Come on, I say it. God's in me. He lives in me. I am his temple. And he's never leaving. Jesus said it this way. He said, when the Holy Spirit who comes in, he was talking to the disciples because he hadn't been to the cross yet. He said, he's with you now, but he will be in you. The Holy Spirit that was with them, Jesus said, once I've completed what I'm going to complete and you become a new creature, the Holy Spirit will be in you. And he said, and when he's in you, he will be in you forever. We sang that line in that song. It's one of my favorite lines in the song, right? The power of his spirit is now forever yours. Okay. And so he's in you. Holy Spirit's in you. Okay. So that spirit, that coincides with spirit. God in you, spirit. What is he there? He works in you both to will. Okay. I'll put the drawing back up. Your will, that's your choices. When we say soul, mind, emotions, and will, we're talking about your thinking, your feelings, and then your choices, your mind, emotions, and your will. All right. Anybody ever heard these two words? Willpower. Okay. Is willpower good? Yes. Is it important? Yes. Is it a final answer? No. No, it's not. No, it's not. Have you lived long enough by now to have figured out that willpower alone is not enough to overcome the lust of the flesh? Not enough. It's not enough. Okay. And part of it is there's no life in it. And so you hold on until you can't hold on anymore. Think about like somebody, we call it white knuckling in recovery, right? When somebody's holding on and they hold on so long, their knuckles turn white. Why are your knuckles turning white? Because you've held on so long, all the blood's gone out of them. What's in the blood? Life, right? And so eventually you lose your grip. You fall back into the old patterns of doing and what have you. And then you go through the whole cycle of shame and guilt and promising everybody you'll never do it again. And you get back and you get back up there hanging on again and again and again. Okay. Well, we got to tap into the power of his spirit, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. So notice to will then he's in you both, works in you both to will and then to do. Where's our doing? Doing's the body. All right? Are you seeing spirit, soul, body here? Spirit, soul, body here. Spirit, soul, body here. Praise God. I'm not sure that you're seeing it, but that's okay. You still with me? Amen. Amen. Praise God. All right, let's stand together. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, amen. And we're going to do it. I promise you we're going to do it. We're going to do it together. We're going to enjoy doing it together. But I'm wanting to explain from the Word of God, how it is that we became sons, we were made sons. Are you with me now? That's not a figurative expression. We are literally sons of God because we've been literally born of His seed. And because we were literally born of His seed, we became the partaker of a new nature, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. We were by nature. Were is what past tense be. You still with me? Were by nature, the Bible says, the offspring of wrath. But we got a new nature now. Amen. We got a new nature now. So, man, don't seem like it, Pastor Mark. Still seems like I have a sin nature. It's because you're understanding. It's all it is. You understand. It's the figment of your imagination. It's just a figure of mirror. That's all it is. Smoke and mirrors from the enemy. Smoke and mirrors from the enemy. You are just as free from sin. You are just as free from addiction. You are just as free from the rulership and ownership of the flesh as Jesus is. Amen. Amen. Thank you for those amens. That's the truth. That's the truth. That is a straight up truth. And so we're gonna look. We were singing it this morning. Sometimes when I make these suggestions, you know, they just immediately change all the lyrics. I'm not suggesting we change the lyrics, because to me, the song about he laid inside my tomb of sin and then he walked right out again. Yes. Is that not like one of the, pardon the expression, money lines in that song? I mean, that just, okay. But I heard myself sing it different this morning. I think it was inspired by the Holy Spirit, because it wasn't just that he walked right out again. We walked right out again. We walked out with him. We walked out with him. Amen. 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 So we went from separated from God with no hope, made one with God. Amen. Amen. And so I want to show you that from the scriptures, because we've talked a great deal. I know you're still standing. Just stay with me. Praise God. We've talked a great deal from Galatians 4 about the heir and the son who understands like a slave, continue to live like a slave, even though he's a son, or she's a child of God. Okay. But the one part that we haven't really drilled down into the way we need to is what actually makes us sons, and that's a literal truth. Amen. And so I'm excited about getting to that in the days ahead. Amen. All right, Father, as we stand before you this morning, we just want to say thank you for loving us and for helping us and for all that you've done for us and the things that you're revealing to us. Father, I thank you that we're not seeing ourselves as broken and as losers and as failures and as addicted and hopeless. Lord, all these things that the enemy lies to everybody, including your people, and sadly many of your people believe these things despite what your word says about them. Father, we're not fearful. We're not confused. We know what to do. Even if we don't have the answer in our minds right now, man, whoever's listening to me right now, you hear me. This is a prophetic word. Stop saying you don't know what to do. Stop saying you don't know what to, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do about my daughter. I don't know what to do about the situation. I don't know what to do about my job. Quit confessing that. The Bible says you have the anointing from the Holy One. He's in you, and you know all things, and that he will even show you things to come. He will show you things to come. So there's a lot of decisions in life that can be made based upon the way things are right now. But the best decision is the one that we can make based upon the way things are now and the way they will be on down the road. How many times have we gotten on down the road and wished we'd have made a different decision 3 weeks, 3 years, whatever, ago? Well, the Holy Spirit will help you make these decisions. If you'll let him, he'll help you make these decisions even by showing you things to come. But it's very difficult. I'm speaking to you now by the Holy Spirit, so listen to me, please. He's saying it's very difficult for him to help you with that if all you understand and confess out of your mouth is that you don't know what to do. That you don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. What are we going to do? I don't know what we're going to do. See, we say that over and over and over again. It's one of the ways the world has affected and influenced our understanding. But instead, what should we be saying? That he gives wisdom to those who ask. I have an anointing from the Holy One, I know all things, and I thank you, Father, and literally just begin to say, the Lord's showing me what to do. He's leading me. He's guiding me. I'm not leaning to my own understanding. I'm acknowledging him in all my ways. I'm trusting him with all my heart, and he's directing my paths. Amen? Amen? And so, Father, we thank you for that word this morning. We receive it in our hearts. Holy Spirit, we give you permission to correct us when we seamlessly and sometimes aimlessly with idle words just exasperated say, I don't know what to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. I thank you, Father, that your Holy Spirit is correcting us on this, and that's not our understanding. We don't see ourselves as people who are lost and don't know what to do, But Father, we see ourselves as sons and daughters of God who have the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of God living in us. Your Holy Spirit who knows all things living in us, who is ordering our steps and guiding and directing us in the path that our lives are to go. And Lord, for leaders of households in here, moms and dads, husbands and wives, I thank you, Father, that you're showing them even things as it relates to their children, even their grandchildren, to many generations. So Lord, we worship you. We thank you for this time together this morning. We pray again for Mark and Emily and their entire family. Father, let this be what they want it to be, and what they've called it, Lord, this afternoon, a celebration of Dale's life. Father, we know that, that you, have Dale, that he's with you and he's well. And I thank you, Father, that you're with the family and that you're strengthening them and giving them peace that passes all understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Among other things, one of the things the Lord wants me to say loudly and clearly tonight is that Dale did not end his life. Amen. Amen. And you say, well, Pastor Mark, I thought he killed himself. He did, but he didn't end his life. Amen. He ended his life on this planet, but he didn't end his life. And so he's with our Father and we'll see him again. Amen. All right. We love you. Thank you for your goodness, and your faithfulness. And I know some of you volunteered to come help. Thank you for that this afternoon. Obviously, we need to kind of shift accordingly.